Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen, and joining me in studio right now are a couple of fellows from the DNR. I have Lieutenant Ryan Ahus, the DNR District Law Supervisor, and Ron Yesney, the DNR UP Trail Coordinator. And the reason why I've invited these two guys in here is to talk about snowmobiles, all things snowmobiles, when it comes to safety and regulations and basically keeping everybody alive. First, let me say hello to Lieutenant Ryan and Ron. Thank you for joining me.
Glad to be here.
Well, a few weekends ago, I do the news here for our radio station. A few weekends ago, I spent a good part of a Saturday writing up stories of accidents and fatalities from snowmobiling. And not that that's unusual during the winter. There's always going to be a couple of fatalities. At least that's the trend for us. But it was odd in that one particular weekend when I came in on Monday morning, the death toll, so to speak, there were five fatalities involved with snowmobiling. And that doesn't even include the other accidents where there wasn't anybody killed, but they were still pretty serious accidents. And I said, well, we've been running stories about wanting to keep people safe and also talking about the different regulations when it comes to snowmobiling. We know it's a very popular and essential part of our winter industry here in the Copper Country. But we want people to be able to come back time and time again. And so I thought it'd be a good opportunity to talk about kind of what's the situation out there and what people can do in order to stay safe. So let me first start off with the safety issue and talk about this particular year in comparison to other years. Ron, I'll throw it to you. What are you guys seeing out there right now as far as, what are the reasons why we've had a rash of accidents this particular year?
Yeah, so we've done some studies and analysis. You know, speaking to this year specifically, the accidents that we've had, I can attribute that a lot just to the fact that there was no snow in Lower Michigan, there was no snow in Wisconsin or Minnesota, so we had a lot of concentrated use. And that weekend where we had all the fatalities, we do see in the Upper Peninsula is when there's not a lot of snow or there is not snow elsewhere and you get a concentrated use pattern, you know, the trail conditions get deteriorated, you got more people riding, people are coming further to ride, so they're fatigued, they're tired, they're trying to do more in less of a time period, and all those factors turn into bad decisions and ultimately accidents.
There's a saying around here that in my partner over in the K-Bear studio likes to say it, that the best kind of a winter is when nobody else gets any snow and we get a lot of it, because it helps improve the tourism industry here, because everybody's got to come here to do their sledding and yep. other winter sports. But there's a downside, as you mentioned.
The downside is that, you know, people are coming farther. Like I said, they're fatigued. They're trying to do more in that short a time period. They got a weekend and they're coming all the way from South Haven. Just trying to do too much and bad things happen.
You mentioned the conditions of the trails, and it's, you know, especially since about the first of the year we've been getting dumped on with snow, and so they got to keep up with the trails and then all that usage on the trails. So is there concern when you get that much traffic out there that can increase or decrease safety?
No, typically the more snow we get, the better the trails get. And I would say safety conditions go up because with snowmobiling, you're always going to have conditions, especially early season conditions, where there's more ice. There's, you know, there might be some rocks that are still showing, and you get into the corners and there's not as much snow built up. So you got to be a lot more careful on early season. I'd say when you have more snow, it's easier to keep the trail better groomed. It's easier to cover up obstructions that are in the trail, and I would say the safety factor goes up as the season goes on.
Now, being the one that does the news, I'm aware that we've got social media, we have internet, we have a lot of other things that spread the word of when something like this happens, particularly a snowmobile fatality. So from my end, it seems like the numbers are up, the number of fatalities are up. Is that true? Are we seeing more accidents now than we had in the past?
No. I mean, if you go back, snowmobiling was at its peak. It's peaked in 2005, 2006, and ever since then we've been kind of on a decline since the recession. But in those era, in the 1990s and early 2000s, we were up to over 40 fatalities a year. Any fatality is too many, but I mean, in comparison to what we had, you know, we're in a safer environment now, but we still have, you know, too many. 2 years ago, we had a total of, I think, six fatalities, and then last year we went up to 17, I believe. So it jumps around. There are various factors. We did some analysis with the UP Trauma Center, and we looked at the causation, and 80% of our accidents and fatalities are caused by simply by speed. So people going too fast for conditions, and we can attribute that to some extent to the newer sleds. They're fast, they're quiet, and you simply are sometimes going faster than you think you are. It's like driving a new Lincoln or Cadillac. You don't realize how fast you're going until it comes time to stop. So we're seeing that, and we still have issues with people abusing alcohol and riding snowmobiles, but that by and large is a less of a factor as versus 20, 30 years ago. The average age of snowmobilers is up to 50 years old right now. So there's less younger people involved, and same people are snowmobiling now that were snowmobiling in the 90s. So the average age is going up, and I think we're seeing less nighttime riding. We're seeing less use of alcohol. It's still happening, and Ryan can speak to that, but it's less of a factor. The biggest factor we're seeing with speed and accidents, with accidents and fatalities nowadays, is speed.
How fast can the modern snowmobiles go? I'm not a snowmobiler, really, so I don't.
You can get a 1,000cc two-stroke that'll go 140 miles an hour. The industry has not put any limits or governors on snowmobiles. So essentially, you can get a machine that's basically a rocket.
On roads, we have speed limits. Are there any such regulations when it comes to being on a trail?
In certain areas, we have speed limits, but by and large, the law reads that you have to be operating at a speed that's safe and reasonable for conditions. We do not have a statewide speed limit, and there's quite a few reasons for that, Rick. I can go into it, but the reality is our snowmobile trails are made up of a variety of land ownerships, whether you're on township, city, private, county roads, state land, and because of all the different ownership patterns, it's not possible to create a uniform speed limit.
We'll be coming back to the importance of maintaining those relationships with private landowners and taking care of the trails. In just a moment, let me switch over here to Lieutenant Aho and talk about what we were just discussing with the accident. So the most common words I read on any press release related to a snowmobile accident is speed and alcohol are believed to have been a factor. Ron was saying that the usage of alcohol has diminished, which sounds it's a good thing, definitely. But it's still when it comes to an accident, it seems to still be a popular reason. Do you agree?
I agree. I mean, it's just it depends on the situation. I mean, looking at the bigger picture as far as when there's a fatal, you don't necessarily know. There's a lot of different things that happen. I mean, to me, I think one of the biggest factors is unfamiliar. They're unfamiliar with the trails. They're going too fast. They're trying to keep up. When we're talking about snow, one thing that came to mind when Ron was speaking, the snow on the ground doesn't necessarily cause a hazard, but when there's snow coming down and there's poor visibility, that seems to be some of the, I guess, an area where we could talk about. And even if it's not actively snowing and there's snow dust, that's another thing that creates issues for snowmobilers, whether it be them missing a corner or even hitting another snowmobiler, not being able to see, going too fast for conditions applies there also. Even if the snowmobile trail is perfectly groomed and you aren't going to hit a single bump, if you can't see, you're going too fast for conditions. And that's been a factor that's contributed to some of the accidents that we've had.
Do we have rules, laws on intoxication levels for riding snowmobiles like we have with vehicles?
Yeah, yep. It's you can't operate a snowmobile if your blood alcohol level, and it's the same as a motor vehicle. You can't operate when you're impaired. You can't operate when you're over a certain blood alcohol level. So and it just depends on where you're at with that snowmobile. There's a snowmobile law, and there's also regular motor vehicle code applies to that. So it's the same thing as if you're driving a car. You can't have an open container. You can't be over the legal limit. So, and you don't want to be, and like Ron spoke to before too, I mean, you have people that are coming from a long ways away, and even if somebody's only has one or two drinks, and when they're tired and they're fatigued, that's going to affect them, and that is a contributing factor to some of the accidents that we've had.
And this applies to really anything, whether you're driving a long ways or, you know, you just had a, you know, if you've had an extra long, hard day of work and you're worn down, and you're going to be more susceptible. And if you're spending a late night out. So I don't want to make it sound like we're picking on snowmobilers. We're talking about safety in general, because, you know, when I go out to the local watering holes for a malt beverage, and there's a lot of snowmobilers out there. Well, of course, I'm there, and I have to be cautious about, you know, how much I have to drink. And if I have too much, just carrying a different ride home. But then there's a line of snowmobiles that are out in front of the establishment. And those guys, that, you know, they're operating on the same rules that I am when it comes to that kind of enforcement and having to enjoy yourself in moderation, trying to. You know, I don't. People want to have fun. I don't want to have fun too. But also, you know, I got to get home safe. And they got to get home safe as well. What kind of enforcement actions does the DNR take when it comes to people maybe who have had too much to drink and they're on a snowmobile?
Well, we do regular enforcement where we come into contact with somebody, and if there's a suspicion that they've had too much to drink, then that individual will be run through sobrieties. And I know there were three individuals that were brought to jail for having too much to drink on snowmobiles from a group snowmobile patrol that our department had earlier on in the season. I think it was the weekend before the rash of fatals that we had. We had a snowmobile patrol, and there were three, like I said, three individuals that were brought to jail for being over the legal limit. I mean, it's just same as anything else. I mean, you could have a headlight that's out. You could be stopped for running a stop sign, anything that's a legal stop, and then you're in contact with the officers. They're gonna talk to you, and if they think that you've had too much to drink, they're gonna run you through sobriety, just like with a motor vehicle.
Interesting. What other factors are you guys looking out for when you're doing these patrols besides the drinking and sledding?
Careless operation. We got lots of different areas where, you know, there might be a sharp corner and people are operating on the wrong side of the trail. Hence the Ride Right campaign is a great tool to advertise that you should be riding on the right side of the road when you're going around corners, especially. I've contacted people over the years and they didn't even realize that they were supposed to be on the far right-hand side. They thought they could be on whatever side of the trail they wanted, unless snowmobiles were coming, which... obviously, it's a good practice to be on the far right-hand portion of the trail, especially when you're going around corners, because you don't know what's or who's going to be coming around that corner. So those are some of the factors that we look at, is, you know, careless operation. Obviously, if somebody crashes, we show up and we come upon an accident where somebody just went off the trail into the woods and they've had too much to drink. I mean, those are all things that we're looking out for and focusing on.
What about when you're not on the trail? We see a lot of the sleds out on lakes or even on the canal, which is, you know, I hear it's not recommended to do. But then, you know, one of the accidents from a couple of weeks ago took place on a lake. What are some things people should be aware of if they're taking their sleds off the trails?
Well, the same safety factors apply. And one of the things I wanted to talk about a little bit, Rick, was just our Ride Right campaign, but also. You know, one of the things that does happen with snowmobiling is the things that get media attention quite often are the accidents and trail closures and everything that's gone wrong. And one of the issues I see with that from a trail coordinator's perspective is that there are so many people out there working really hard to create and maintain these snowmobile trails. It's just an amazing group of volunteers that have developed, managed, and maintained the snowmobile trail system that we have in the Upper Peninsula. Upper Peninsula is ranked in the top five in terms of snowmobile destinations worldwide. A lot of local people don't realize that how popular of a thing it is here and how popular it is to come to the Upper Peninsula ride snowmobiles simply because of the trail system that we have and the communities that people can access and the neat things that people can see. It's just not... You just can't go anywhere and do what you do here. There are other states that have more miles of trail than we have. Minnesota, Wisconsin have more miles, but they just don't have the quality. I mean, you can ride in the Upper Peninsula. You can go for 15 miles and not even come to a stop sign or a yield sign, and that's just not something people can do elsewhere in the United States of America. So we have a real special program. We have a lot of dedicated volunteers, the Michigan Snowmobile Association, along with 68 snowmobile clubs that we have in the state of Michigan, do a great job. It's a great program, and it's a real cool group of people to work with. They're well organized, and they do a good job.
I have to listen to the scanner, part of my job, you know, and then in over the last couple of mornings, when we're, these are the mornings where it was like minus 10 below and even less in some of the outreaching areas, and I can hear the trail groomers.
Yeah.
And they're out there in that weather, in that early morning, saying, you know, I'm on trail number three right now from such and such and such and such reporting in. Now, if they're working on those trails, you know, just like the guys out there trying to clear the streets out from the snow.
It's kind of what I wanted to point out. Is that a lot of the media attention that gets out there with regard to snowmobiling is sometimes the negative stuff, and I really want to focus that on that positive side. And we did do a video this year that kind of highlighted what snowmobile program, you know, means to the state of Michigan economically, and then also how much work that actually goes into it from a volunteer standpoint, and you know, how well organized the snowmobiling community really is. You know, I work with all the trail people, and, you know, whether it's equestrians and mountain bikers and skiers and snowmobilers and ORV people. And one thing I got to credit the snowmobile community with is that they're very well organized, and they tax themselves. They have trail permits, and then they put these permits into place, and they create these landowner agreements. And it's kind of a model that, you know, some of the other groups can look at and work from.
Yeah, well, we're definitely aware of the economic impact that the snowmobiling has for our industry, and we do appreciate everybody that it comes out. And again, I'll just restate that this is not a segment to try to pick on snowmobilers. It's try to make sure that people are safe and can come back and continue enjoying these trails.
No, I get that. I just wanted to, you know, put a little positive spin on it, too. It's important to talk about safety, and we certainly want to eliminate and prohibit as many accidents as we can, and that's why we worked with Law Enforcement Division and Lewis County developed this Ride Right campaign this year. And basically it's just a profile to point out to snowmobilers that 80% of the snowmobile accidents and fatalities that we have are related to speed. And then we have some bullet points, and the bullet points are basically ride on the right side of the trail, ride at a safe speed, ride sober, anticipate and yield to groomers, and lastly, ride safe so you make it home to your family and friends. So we're kind of really emphasizing this. We're getting these posters out in as many places as we can. We've done a lot of press releases. So this is our effort to kind of, you know, reach out to people that might be excited to come to Michigan. They really want to get out and ride, but maybe before they do, they need to look at this.
Yeah, you follow this, and then you're going to be able to come out and enjoy the trails and enjoy the great sport of snowmobiling, and you're going to do it safely and have a much greater chance of coming back safely.
We want people to come here. We want people to come here and ride. We want people to spend their money and enjoy themselves, but we want to send them home safe.
One of the other things that has been a concentration this year, and it certainly is gets some attention in previous years, but it's just that the loudness of the snowmobiles, because it does generate some complaints from private owners especially, and wanting to help snowmobilers in trying to maintain that goodwill with the private owners of who we use these trails that cut through their property. When you're doing these patrols, are you also looking for the decibel levels of the sleds themselves?
Yeah, what we try to do is we try to have sound enforcement patrols where we target areas where we have complaints of loud snowmobile exhaust emissions. What we're doing is we're setting up, and usually you'll see quite a few of us there, because if they build up, we need to have enough resources there to address all the activity. So what we're doing, and basically, like I think Ron had mentioned, but 50% of our trails go through private property, and we're losing permissions through the private property because of loud snowmobile complaints and trespassing complaints. So what we're doing is we're enforcing, you know, if somebody has an aftermarket exhaust on their snowmobile and it fails the decibel test, which if you're over 88 decibels, then it's a ticketable offense. And it's basically what I like to do is communicate the best that I can to the people that have these loud exhausts, because when we started doing the enforcement, everybody had an aftermarket pipe, for the most part, would fail the decimal test, and they had if they failed, they got a ticket, and we'd instruct them to put their stock exhaust back on, and they'd be more than happy to do so, especially after we explained that the reason that we're doing this enforcement is so we can save snowmobile trails, and we try to let them know, we give them all the details on what we're doing and what our intent of the enforcement is. And our intent is to save snowmobile trails so snowmobile trails aren't closed. We get that message to the snowmobilers that have these loud exhausts, and they're more than happy to put on their stock exhaust. But the trend that we've come into recently over the last few years is we're running into people that are buying trail cans. So at the 4,000 RPM testing level, their trail cans are passing the sound test, our sound emissions test. But as soon as they get those RPMs up, they're still creating the same complaints, and they're generating the same bad publicity for loud snowmobiles that the illegal ones are. So you're able to buy some, I guess, cans for your snowmobile that are legal and they're passing the test, but they're still creating the same complaints, and they're still going to be, making us lose snowmobile trails. We're losing permissions because of those same complaints. So these things are being generated by cans that are legal. So we ask people that if you have a snowmobile and it has a stock exhaust, that's our intent, is to have them keep the snowmobiles with the stock exhaust so we're not generating loud noise complaints and losing snowmobile trails in Michigan.
Well, Ron had mentioned that modern snowmobiles are much quieter than they used to be. So these are additions that people are putting on. You said to call them aftermarket additions. I had a snowmobiler tell me that loud pipes save lives. I'm not sure what the reasoning is, but let me ask you, is there an advantage toward the snowmobiler or a reason why they would want to increase the noise?
I've talked to a lot of different snowmobilers, and one of their biggest things that they want to do is they want to cut weight, or, you know, like I've heard every saying that there is, loud pipes save lives. They say that deer are running out of the way. I mean, they use anything in the world to justify having that loud pipe. But the bottom line is they want the loud pipe because it makes noise. I mean, you got guys that are, they straight up tell you that they lose 5 horsepower by putting this pipe on their machine. They just want that pipe on their machine because it's loud and they want to, you know, hear that sound. Yep, exactly. Yeah,
they just think it's cool. And what they don't realize is that they're really, really causing a detrimental effect to the program that they're here to enjoy. So if they want a snowmobile and they want a loud pipe, I could care less if they're on their own private property or they're doing laps around their house. That's great. But if you want to run a loud pipe and you think it's cool, stay off our trails. You know, there are so many people that work so really very hard to keep these trails open, to maintain them, to keep relationships with communities and landowners. And one loud pipe, man, that can ruin everything. So I think it's kind of a selfish decision to run a loud pipe on a snowmobile. And people think it's cool, and they might save, like Ryan said, they might save 4 pounds. But in the long run, they're doing so much damage to the program that we can't let it happen. So that's why we're out writing tickets, and we're trying to do as much education as we can in terms of why this is a problem.
Well, in our last couple of minutes here, let's address those landowners that we've mentioned a couple of times who, you know, allow the trails to go through their property. What would be the message to them as far as, you know, what the effort is to try to answer some of their complaints?
We just say, if you know, we really appreciate the cooperation that we get from the private landowners. We want to know if there's a problem. We want to know if there's issues with snowmobilers getting off the trail. We want to know if there's issues with loud pipes, so we can have officers like Lieutenant Ryan Aho out there and his group of people to address those issues. Where we have lost trail in a few situations, we've got, you know, trail 15 now ends in Chassel. We can't get from Chassel to Painesdale. That was closed a few years ago. Trail 11 north of Wakefield's closed. You know, if there are issues, we need to know about it so we can get law enforcement on scene.
If people want to know more about the Ride Right campaign and snowmobile in general and safely, what are some steps they should take?
Well, the Ride Right campaign, I mean, you can get right on our website, michigan.gov/snowmobiling, and you can see what the Ride Right campaign is all about. There's bullet points that are, I think Ron already went over them, but for the most part, what you want to, I mean, ride right, it means ride on the right-hand side of the trail, and riding at a safe speed. And like I said before, I'd really like to reiterate, is even if it's snowing, you need to slow down. I mean, your trail could be perfectly, it could be glass smooth, but if it's snowing and your visibility is down, that's one of the biggest things that I think needs to be voiced, because even if it snowed an inch of snow the day before you're the first one out, well, there's going to be the visibility when that snowmobile or several snowmobiles in front of you are kicking up that dust. It's almost, you know, it's blinding. So you need to slow down when the conditions are like that. And if it's not clear, just because the trail is smooth doesn't mean that you can operate at a you know, normal rate of speed. So you got to slow down depending on the conditions, and especially with visibility, whether it's on the trail or out on a lake, all that stuff applies. And when you're following and you want to keep up with people, you got to keep that in mind. You know, if there's snow dust in the air, that's a factor, and your group has to understand that. And even if their snowmobiles coming the other way, they're going to kick up that stuff, and it's going to decrease visibility. So decreased visibility is one of the biggest reasons to go slow.
All right. Guys, thank you so much for making the trip out here. I hope we were able to cover everything that was good. And I, again, you know, keep up the good work and help keep our trails safe and open.
Appreciate the opportunity to speak about these issues.
Yep. Thanks for having us.
Copper Country Today. We'll be right back.